It's Monday, February 16th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. It's President's Day here in the United States of America, where we celebrate the combined birthdays of President George Washington and President Abraham Lincoln. With that in mind, I'd like to bring up some of the quotes that have been attributed to U.S. presidents with regard to cannabis, hemp, and marijuana. Of course, there's the famous George Washington quote, "Make the most of the Indian hemp seed and sow it everywhere." That's often said to refer to just industrial hemp, but there's also notations in George Washington's diary about separating the male and female plants before harvest, and we all know what that's done for. It's also well known that founding father Thomas Jefferson was a hemp farmer, and the famous quote attributed to him from 1781 is, "Some of my finest hours have been spent on my back veranda smoking hemp and observing as far as my eye can see." I have yet to get an official confirmation on that quote, but I've seen it in print a few times. And then there's a quote from Abraham Lincoln that I'd like to tackle, a couple of them actually, that people have heard many times, even here on the Stash blog. One quote says, "Prohibition goes beyond the bound of reason in that it attempts to control a man's appetite by legislation and makes a crime out of things that are not crimes. A prohibition law strikes a blow at the very principles upon which our government was founded." I always thought that was an Abraham Lincoln quote, but according to Dale Gueringer, the coordinator of California Normal, he tells us that that quote is apocryphal. It was invented by Georgia anti-prohibitionists long after Lincoln's death to stir up support among blacks. There's also another quote that's often attributed to Lincoln that says, "Two of my favorite things are sitting on my front porch smoking a pipe of sweet hemp and playing my Hohner harmonica." That's also an apocryphal quote, not actually said by Lincoln. Hohner didn't start selling harmonicas in the U.S. until after Lincoln was dead. So the quotes from George Washington, we are definitely sure of. The Thomas Jefferson quote, I've still got a question about. And the Abraham Lincoln quotes are not from Abraham Lincoln. And that's your little President's Day marijuana trivia for you. Now, coming up this week on the Daily Audio Stash, we've got all sorts of alerts for you activists to know about. We've got some bills in Hawaii and Montana that are having hearings this week. To find out more about those, check out our activist agenda calendar at stash.normal.org/activist-agenda. Also, coming up this week, there's a meeting in Joplin, Missouri for Joplin Normal on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Arkansas Normal is putting together a demonstration. On Thursday, the Marijuana Policy Project's executive director, Rob Campia, will be on the Bill O'Reilly television show debating marijuana law reform. And also the Missouri SSDP Normal Conference is coming up this weekend. So plenty of stuff to check out on our activists' agenda calendar. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got an interview with Matt Simon from New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy and NHCompassion.org. He's going to give us the rundown on the various bills affecting marijuana policy in the Granite State. And also a very special interview with Kathy Jordan. You may remember her from the normal $10,000 Pro Cannabis ad contest. She was the lady in the wheelchair singing the bad boys, what you gonna do theme. She joins us to talk about surviving amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS, through the use of medicinal cannabis and what she's doing lately as an activist to fight for not just medical marijuana, but the end of marijuana prohibition for all adults. It's an amazing interview, so stay tuned for that in our second interview segment. Also, it's Music with a Message in our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com with Wisconsin's own The Crest and their tune Prisoner of War. Now, so far this week, no famous Olympic athletes have been caught smoking marijuana, but that doesn't mean we don't have a whole lot to cover here. So let's load it up, get some fresh water for the bubbler, because it's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Normal's weekly legislative roundup. Marijuana law reform bills are now pending in nearly 24 states. Here is this week's summary of pending state legislative activity and tips on how you can become involved in changing the marijuana laws in your area. Montana. Lawmakers introduced a measure this week to make minor marijuana offenses a civil violation. House Bill 541 would amend state law so that possession of up to 30 grams of marijuana is reduced from a criminal misdemeanor punishable by up to 6 months in jail to a $50 fine. The proposal is now before the House Judiciary Committee, which is expected to hear testimony in favor of the bill in March. You can show your support for House Bill 541 by visiting our alerts section at normal.org. Similar pot decriminalization proposals are pending in Vermont, Washington State, and Hawaii. And in related Montana news, the Senate is expected to vote on Senate Bill 326, an act to expand the state's medical marijuana program, by the end of this week. For more information, please contact Montana Patients and Families United at mtpfu.org. Kentucky. Kentucky legislators are trying to misuse the state's traffic safety laws to target adults who use marijuana responsibly in the privacy of their own home. It's up to us to stop them. This week, senators approved Senate Bill 5, which seeks to criminalize anyone who operates a motor vehicle with any detectable level of marijuana in their blood. Under the strict interpretation of this standard, responsible marijuana consumers who last used cannabis days earlier could still be potentially arrested and prosecuted for drugged driving, even if they are completely sober. Normal recently testified against a similar proposal in New Hampshire, which legislators rightfully dismissed as improper and illogical. Please help us derail Senate Bill 5 in Kentucky by contacting the members on the House Judiciary Committee and urging them to vote no on 5. New Jersey. The Senate is expected to vote on Monday, February 23rd, on Senate Bill 119, the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act. If passed, this measure would make New Jersey the 14th state to allow for the physician-supervised use of medicinal cannabis. Governor John Corzine backs the measure, as do many of the state's largest newspapers. Residents in New Jersey are strongly encouraged to write or call their senators now and urge them to vote yes on SB 119. Washington State. Members of the Senate Judiciary Committee heard testimony this week in favor of Senate Bill 565, an act to reclassify the possession of 40 grams or less of marijuana from a misdemeanor to a Class 2 civil infraction. You can read about the hearing through links on our blog at normal.org and urge the committee to back the measure by visiting our activist alerts. To learn about additional pending legislation in Alabama, Connecticut, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Oregon, Rhode Island, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia, please visit Normal's Legislative Action Alerts page through the map at stash.normal.org. South Carolina Sheriff Leon Lott press conference on Michael Phelps bong case. No charges to be filed. Well, they just finished up with a live press conference in South Carolina, and CNN is reporting that the Sheriff Rambo down there, Sheriff Leon Lott, in Columbia, South Carolina, couldn't bring down Michael Phelps for smoking a bong in a photo. Columbia, South Carolina. A South Carolina sheriff said Monday he was not going to charge swimmer Michael Phelps after a photo of the 14-time gold medalist showed him smoking from a marijuana pipe. Richland County Sheriff Leon Lott said he couldn't ignore the photo, but defended his investigation. Lott said, quote, "Michael Phelps is truly an American hero, but even with his star status, he is still obligated to obey the laws of our state," end quote. Yeah, Sheriff Lott, that would be a whole lot easier to believe if you were going after the kids in South Carolina who post their bong-smoking photos on MySpace or Facebook or any number of places where people who aren't 14-time Olympic gold medalists might be photographed using marijuana. Seems a whole lot like you were trying to make a name for yourself and try to show what a big, bad law enforcement officer you were by taking down a celebrity. I really hope that someone in the state of South Carolina puts together a Freedom of Information Act request to find out how much money and manpower you wasted trying to go after someone in a photograph. Ohio Prisons Director, we've lost the war on drugs. The head of Ohio's prison system gave state legislators a no-nonsense budget talk yesterday, saying, quote, "We've lost the war on drugs, yet we keep sending people to state prisons," end quote. Terry Collins, director of the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction, made an impassioned plea for sentencing reforms to divert more offenders from overcrowded state prisons and ease the burden on the financially strapped system. The alternative? Closing another prison in 2011, Collins told a House committee reviewing the state budget. The director said state prisons are bulging with 32% more inmates than they are designed to hold, and the population will hit 60,000 in the next decade unless changes are made. It was a little over 50,000 on Monday. Governor Ted Strickland's two-year budget proposes spending a total of $3.65 billion in fiscal years 2010 and 2011 to operate prisons, community corrections facilities, and halfway houses funded by the state. Collins said the proposed budget, though large, will require cutting about 500 positions from his payroll. Collins said, quote, "We cannot continue to believe the only option is to punish people by sending them to prison. We need to stop sending people to prison who we are just mad at. Prison beds should be maintained for those who are just plain bad," end quote. I love that line. Again, it comes down to the simple economic truth that the states can no longer afford to be in the business of sending messages about one's personal drug use. The public may be mad at those of us who choose marijuana over martinis and cannabis over cigars, but arresting us to deter our use has not worked and has cost the public billions in revenue, expenses, and lives. Montana Senate panel okays medical marijuana expansion. A bill that would increase the amount of medical marijuana that registered patients can possess cleared its first hurdle on Friday as the Senate Public Health, Welfare, and Safety Committee passed the measure on a 5-2 vote. The bill also adds to the list of chronic or debilitating medical ailments the drug could be used to treat, including diabetes, post-traumatic stress disorder, hepatitis C, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, agitation of Alzheimer's disease, nail patella syndrome, dysmenorrhea, anxiety, and insomnia. The original form of the bill sought to increase possession limits from 1 ounce to 12 ounces. The committee passed the measure after adding an amendment by Senator Dave Lewis of Helena, which limits it to just 3 ounces. Lewis told the committee he didn't intend to look carefully at the bill until hearing from a friend and constituent who suffers from ovarian cancer. Lewis said, quote, "She slipped a note in my pocket that said this method of treatment was the only thing that was keeping her sane," end quote. He said he then spoke with law enforcement officials who said they would be satisfied with a 3-ounce possession limit. Lewis told the committee, quote, "I'm hoping to at least try to get some support for this bill," end quote. The measure passed with Lewis and Senator Terry Murphy, Republican of Cardwell, siding with the 3 Democrats on the panel to vote in favor of the bill. I am really happy to see anxiety, insomnia, and PTSD being added to the qualifying conditions. A 3-ounce limit is still too restrictive for the neediest patients, but any increase from an even crueler 1-ounce limit must be applauded. When these law enforcement types oppose higher limits, I just wish they could understand that lower limits help subsidize black marketeers. At a 24-ounce limit, a patient can grow and store enough medicine to make it through a few months and donate medicine to other patients, keeping all of them away from the small volume street dealer. At a 1-ounce limit, though, a patient is constantly forced to keep acquiring small amounts of medicine. Since marijuana plants don't produce 1 ounce at a time in a time-released fashion, this means patients sometimes have a bounty of so much medicine, they're in violation of the law. But most of the time, they have to go without or try to find an ounce or less from a dealer. A weed dealer would love to have a returning customer buying the smallest amounts that net the highest markup.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's NORML.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the largest grassroots drug law reform organization in America. So every Monday we visit with the activists in drug law reform who are fighting for our freedom. Get motivated to get it regulated. Join us in some political activism today. You can start by visiting norml.org. It's a busy time in state legislatures, and now we're going to go up to the Granite State and take a look at the bills that are coming through for marijuana law reform in New Hampshire. And joining us from the New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy is the director, Matt Simon. And Matt, welcome back to the Stash.
Hello, Russ. Great to be back on.
You know, like a lot of states, New Hampshire's got a few bills that are coming through the legislature here, but the one we're going to concentrate on here first would be NH 648. That's your medical marijuana bill. What's happening politically with this bill? Where is it at? Is it in committee right now?
Yeah, politically, nothing's happening. It's been referred to the House and Health and the House Health and Human Services Committee, and it has not yet been scheduled for a hearing. But yet, we have had a very busy week. and it's just been great. And what I mean is media. It's been all over all the papers in the state this week, and two front pages on Sunday, the Nashua Telegraph, the Eagle Tribune, and Tuesday, the front page of the Concord Monitor, which every legislator reads. Just great coverage. We're all over the news, and to have a bill not even scheduled for a hearing yet and to be getting great media attention this early is just an excellent sign.
How does this compare to the history of trying to get medical marijuana through New Hampshire in the past? Do the prospects look better this time?
Well, it's much better. 2 years ago, a bill it fell 9 votes short in the House, which in New Hampshire is a very tight margin. It was 186 to 177. We have 400 state representatives. So that bill fell 9 votes short with no media, really, prior to the House vote. Nobody thought it really had much of a chance. It was a huge surprise that it was even that close. And after that vote, there was a lot of retroactive interest. A lot of people were like, oh, what was that? And it got media coverage kind of after the fact. And we've had a lot of conversions over the last couple of years as legislators actually took their time and did a little more research. And so we think we're in a much better position this year.
How about if we get it through committee and onto the floor, do you anticipate good results on the floor? And if it makes it to the governor, what has the governor said about this type of legislation?
The governor, Governor Lynch, has never taken a position on medical marijuana. He's a Democratic governor, Governor John Lynch. He voted... He threatened to veto the decrim bill last year, some people might remember. But he's never taken a position on medical marijuana, and that is much less controversial the way things are playing out up here. So we're hopeful that he will not threaten to veto it, and, you know, we'll consider letting it become law. The first step, obviously, we're focused on short term, is getting a good bill out of the committee. Once a bill is introduced to the committee and, you know, we have our initial hearing, we present all of our testimony, but after that, it's the committee, so they can do anything they want. And the real trick is getting a good bill out of committee. If we get a good bill out of committee and it goes to the floor, I'm very confident that it will pass the House and we'll have an interesting conversation with the Senate. But we've also, you know, had some very good responses from the Senate, and we have sponsors this year, one Republican and one Democrat. That bodes very well going forward.
Excellent. Now, this NH 648, of course, once it hits committee, it can be changed and there's a lot of negotiations. But where are we starting these negotiations from with respect to how the program might be run for medical marijuana in New Hampshire? Limits and possession and particular conditions and so on.
It's kind of too early for me to comment on that. We have a bill that's been filed. The prime sponsor is working on an amendment. She's in conversation with a lot of the other sponsors. I've talked to her several times myself. It's kind of too early to tell exactly what she's going to decide.
Okay, now, that's not the only bill that we've got up in New Hampshire. There's a few others that are floating around that have to do with marijuana and marijuana law reform. What's out there, and how worried do we need to be about these other bills?
Well, there were a couple of bad bills that we didn't see coming. One was requested by our friends at the Department of Safety, and it was a very polite, reasonable request for a zero-tolerance DUID law. So anybody with any metabolite of any Schedule I substance in their blood would be guilty of DUI any time she turned a key in a car, boat, off-road vehicle of any kind. You'd be guilty of DUI if you have any drug metabolites in your system. And we put on a show against that in the Criminal Justice Committee, and I was very, very encouraged and delighted to see that even the law and order, ex-police officers and ex-law enforcement people on the committee, I don't think anybody's going to vote for this in the committee, the first of two bills. There are two bills that are pretty much identical that do the same thing, and I think they're both going down in absolute flames, and to anybody out there who wrote their reps or showed up, because we definitely sent a message that's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, obviously, DUI laws are to protect innocent people against dangerously impaired drivers, not against somebody who smoked a joint last week. And these laws are just completely anti-liberty. So we were upset that our own government would request these laws, But I feel very good that we beat them down in the committee.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And any move forward on decriminalization? I mean, you've got Vermont and Massachusetts and Maine to either side of you that have decriminalized. Any movement on decrim?
Well, there is a decrim bill. One of the things about New Hampshire, with 400 steps, every bill gets a hearing. Anybody can file any legislation, and so a lot of issues just come up every single year. And we put a lot of effort into a decrim bill last year and got it through the House. It was arguably the biggest surprise of the whole legislative session here in New Hampshire that bill passed the House. We've got all our resources going towards the medical marijuana effort this year. We really want next year the decrim issue in 2010.
And Matt Simon is the executive director of the New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy. Look them up at nhcommonsense.org. And the bill number that we're looking at for medical marijuana in the state of New Hampshire is NH-648. Check out our activist alerts map on the right side of the stash, just right below the player. Just click on the activist alert map and you can get the alerts for New Hampshire and all the rest of the United States whenever there is a marijuana bill we need you to know about. Thanks, Matt, for joining us.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Monday is Music with a Message, and today the message is clearly sung by Wisconsin's finest, The Crest. The legendary Bad Boy hip-hop group have spent the past decade building a national following of their innovative and energetic brand of hip-hop. The group, who have been rocking the mic since 1997, have released 13 albums, with their 14th CD, Cheerful Robots, due out soon. The Crest are two brothers and two longtime producers. They possess an incredible stage presence with crisp deliveries, accompanied by original banging beats and fresh production. The group have performed hundreds of shows throughout the Midwest and beyond, being noted for their intense live performances. An extremely talented underground hip-hop group, The Crest won Best Legalization in 2007's Global Marijuana Music Awards with today's song, Prisoners of War. For more information about The Crest, check out myspace.com/thecrest and crestlive.com. And for registered stashers, you can get a members-only download of this song. It's The Crest with Prisoners of War.
I throw a plant in the ground of my backyard, and now the law's got me running like a track star. So here I go, the chase is on, until the day I'm not judged in the face of God. I throw a plant in the ground of my backyard, and now the law's got me running like a track star. So here I go, the chase is on, until the day I'm not judged in the face of God. This is for a friend that got popped with a lot, a plant set his spot, they caught him, it's not gonna stop. Everything that he gave was to this off-duty cop, and when they needed to fill their quota, they were popping his locks. Got his family on the street, neighbors stopping to watch, as the ATF and DEA were cocking their Glocks. To me, it kinda seemed like they were robbing his spot. My friend worked damn hard to get where he got. He never was a violent person, now he sits in a slot with rapists and murderers who won't flinch at a shot. Hasn't slept a full night since he's been on the lock. Thoughts of injustice keep drilling his knock. All he can really do is sit still in his box. He gets out a piece of paper and he scribbles and jots about how he did nothing but nibble a crop that grows like green grass through the gravel and rock. Hold your head, know that we're repping you, and everyone who's like you, we're repping them too. Yeah, keep believing that you're doing the wrong, and we'll keep making civil liberty songs. I grow a plant in the ground of my backyard, and now the law's got me running like a track star. So here I go, the chase is on, until the day I'm not judged in the face of God. I grow a plant in the ground of my backyard, and now the law's got me running like a track star. So here I go, the chase is on, until the day I'm not judged in the face of God.
I don't need my government to protect me from a plant. I don't want my tax dollars going to having my neighbor's phone tapped. I don't want to see another phony commercial tying the sale of pot to the financing of the 9/11 terrorist plot. I'm fed up with bullshit lies, paid for and brought to us by the same people who have the most money to lose if we legalize. I don't want to build more prisons. I want to build on the idea that a free man is free to make his own decisions. But because you can't put a patent on something that grows naturally, they'd rather we fatten up the pockets of pharmaceutical companies. Another refill of pills, another cure in a bottle. The wind is a current solution, become the problem. There's a war going on in our backyards. The government's got us prisoner to these drug laws. Another search, another seizure, the chase is on. Another victim, a victimless crime behind bars.
St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America, and it's all because of your support. Take some time to join NORML at www.normal.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join NORML today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
There are so many people across this country who are fighting for an end to adult marijuana prohibition. And of course, one of the areas where we see a lot of this fight taking place is in the area of medical marijuana. So far, we have 13 states in this country that recognize the medical use of marijuana for various conditions. But there's many other states, 37 of them, that don't. And people that are suffering and people that could use the miracle of marijuana as medicine are being prosecuted, being arrested, being harassed. So we like to recognize the people that are getting involved in this fight and standing up for what is right. And one such person is Kathy Jordan, who's joining us on the telephone along with her husband Bob and also documentary filmmaker Irvin Dargan. And I want to welcome all three of you here to the Normal Daily Audio Stash. And Kathy, how you doing?
I'm fine.
A lot of people who follow the Daily Audio Stash may recognize Kathy if you followed our normal $10,000 pro-cannabis ad contest. Kathy had the ad where she was in her wheelchair and was talking about how medical marijuana can help people with ALS, the amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease. And Kathy has that condition and uses medical marijuana. Kathy, how long ago did you get this diagnosis for ALS?
Well, actually, this month makes 23 years ago.
23 years ago. And when they made that diagnosis, what was the prognosis for your survival and ability to live a productive life?
They gave me 3 to 5 years to live.
3 to 5 years. Okay, so 23 years ago, they said you had 3 to 5 years. And did you start off immediately using cannabis as a therapy, or did you have to find out later?
I was diagnosed in 1986. In 1989, I used Niagara Gold on the beach in Florida, and my disease stopped.
Wow. So,
this is Bob, Kathy's husband.
Hi, Bob.
And I can give you my side of when she came home from Florida. They were growing a strain of cannabis called Myakka Gold. And when she came home, I met her at the airport, and she said, grab this. I said, grab what? And she had a vial of cannabis between her boobs. I thought, oh, no, we're going to go to jail. You're going to get us locked up. What are you doing with this? And I was a non-believer. I kind of thought she was grasping at straws. But as time went on, the devastation that she has today, if people see her website, happened in the first 3 years. When she came home from Florida, and after getting introduced to that Myakka Gold, she was no longer dying. She was living. Mm. She wasn't dying with ALS. She was living with ALS. Medical field at that time, 3 to 5% of ALS patients get dementia, and they kind of thought that's what she was the matter with her. That she was just not dealing well with her situation, and it's been kind of a uphill battle ever since.
Yeah, that's understandable. And no, I'm glad you explained that, Bob, too. You know, a lot of people don't understand that also in this medical marijuana fight is not just the person who's got the condition medical marijuana could help, but also the loved ones who are sitting there watching, you know, someone they really, really care about and trying everything. I mean, every pharmaceutical therapy, every doctor that they can think of, every little trick in the book they can to try to ease some suffering. And when you find out, I mean, what did it feel like to you, Bob, when you started to find out that the cannabis was helping? And how did you feel about all the lies that government has told about cannabis after you found that out?
To put it mildly, I was in a rage.
Yeah.
To find out that I used to think that the oil companies run the country.
Yeah.
But the pharmaceuticals rank right up there with them, if not even actually in a little more control. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And it's actually see it work. To see, I was a doubting Thomas myself, and I was kind of afraid that she was giving herself some false hope. But then, as time went on, and I saw that she actually started getting her appetite back, her twitching stopped. Her life consisted of would be laying on the couch, and that's pretty much what her life was consisted of. And she was going downhill really, really fast. It was terrifying.
And I want to turn to Irvin at this point on the you're filming documentary footage here for this story, and some of it's up on YouTube right now. If people go to YouTube and just search for Surviving ALS, you'll find that video. We'll also post it on the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. But Irvin, as you've been filming this story, what are some of the surprising things that you found out with respect, you know, to the government and their classification of marijuana as having no medical value?
I was thinking that she's been so ahead of her time on this, because back in the early 90s, you know, there really wasn't much awareness of cannabis being used for MS and ALS and things like that, and you know, it was for appetite things with AIDS and cancer and all that, and I've been following it over the years, my experience after meeting Kathy was the first time that I really saw that it could stop a disease like ALS or MS, and it turns out I do videos for a group called Patients at a Time, which has clinical conferences every 2 years, gathering the MDs and the PhDs and researchers from around the world that are researching cannabis and cannabinoid, you know, like THC and other cannabinoids and the endocannabinoid system in the body, and come to find out. At the 2004 conference, a presentation was shown that brought attention to the U.S. government's patent number 6630507, issued in 2003 for cannabinoids. This is issued to Health and Human Services, two government doctors, I think, that were working for HHS at the time I mentioned. It's issued for neuroprotective, antioxidant, and anti-inflammatory properties of cannabinoids. Well, it turns out that these three properties, neuroprotective, is obvious with autoimmune diseases, but also lately with ALS and MS, it's been shown that antioxidants and anti-inflammatories are very important in suppressing the actions of those diseases. And so ALS and Kathy's condition is directly linked to these three conditions that the government recognizes and even has an interest in proving that it does have medical value. So that, to me, that's the ultimate irony there.
And, yeah, no kidding.
I think that the world needs to hear more about that. But the Patients at a Time and us are going to be producing a hour-long broadcast documentary that is destined for satellite and cable TV and video on demand and things like this. So this should be an hour-long documentary soon, hopefully by the end of the year. And whether it'll be called Surviving ALS or not, I'm not sure.
Okay.
We'll talk about that.
Do you have a website where if people want to follow up on this, they could take a look when it's going to be announced?
Well, we'll certainly be talking about it on the Surviving ALS channel, and Patients at a Time will be talking about it at medicalcannabis.com.
Okay.
And I'm sure that we'll have a special channel for the movie itself, too.
Okay, we'll definitely keep our listeners apprised of that once we get the information. Now,
Kathy's channel too. Of course, her website, ALS and Cannabis, will be following it too.
Oh, that's right. Let's. What is the website for Kathy's cause again? ALS and Cannabis. Now, Kathy, what state are you in right now? What state in the United States?
I'm in Florida.
You're in Florida. Now, as far as I'm aware, Florida has probably some of the most punitive laws when it comes to possession of cannabis, even small amounts. Have you had any bad encounters with law enforcement, and does that frighten you on a daily basis?
I guess that is one of my main reasons for becoming their vehicle, is because I obviously cannot handle money, so I cannot go buy my cannabis, and I cannot, you know, I always have to rely on other people.
Mm-hmm.
If I travel, I have to depend on other people to get medicine for me. So it's just, of course, the entire country, it is an absurd, a really outrageous law. And marijuana should be illegal.
We have had other patients that we have helped in the past, and one gentleman had just retired from the Air Force and was just beginning his retirement and got struck with a very, very aggressive form of ALS.
Mm.
And we met him at a conference, and He was very interested and wanted to try it. And one of the last times when I gave him some medicine, and we were talking, it was kind of hard to understand him because he could hardly breathe. And he said, "Bob, you're really a brave man." And I said, "Me? I'm not. You're the one. You're the one that's brave. You know what I mean?" Mm-hmm. He said, "The only thing that makes me feel any better or I get any relief from is when you bring me cannabis. And how can I stop doing that? If something happens, I hope nothing happens to me, but if something happens to me and I end up getting locked up and going to jail, as I consider myself a political prisoner. Because, I mean, when somebody looks at you and says that to you, I mean, that's one of the greatest compliments I've ever received. And it made him feel so much better and relaxed, and shortly after that, he passed away.
I may be disabled, but after 12 years of fighting the drug war, I'm different. It just is a complete waste of time and energy, and after meeting so many people that it hurt so many people, innocent people, I can no longer see him.
Okay, so you're trying to say that while you support, you know, and you're fighting for your medical use, you also find the drug war, you know, to be a waste of time against people who are non-medical users? Did I get that right?
Yes, I do. That is why I'm joining Normal. I was with ASA, and because the politicians here in Florida, they're not want to work with what they call legalizers.
Uh-huh.
So I went with ASA because they were Americans for Safe Access. But after 2 years on the phone and having congressmen and their staff laugh at me on the phone because they think that I'm calling them as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a senator that would introduce the bill if I could get a co-member in the House. And everyone I call thinks it's a practical joke.
Huh. Wow. So you get a lot of that feeling from people that say, you know, you're just trying to legalize dope and it's not really a medicine and you guys are all trying to fool people. Is that what you're saying?
The old long-haired, tie-dyed hippie.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they think we are.
I know, but that is what I want to reach. I grew up in the 60s. I started smoking pot in February 1967. So I smoked, when I was a recreational user, I smoked what, cops, a judge, lawyers, my God, everyone smoked in the 60s and in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Now I meet a lot of people, they say, "Oh, not me, I never smoked." Oh, yes, you did. You're a liar.
That's true. You know, Keith Stropp is fond of saying that by this time in American history, there's probably more Americans who have smoked pot than haven't.
Yes, and this is what I mainly wanted to do with anything that I do. And when the Drug Free America says to open a line in communication with your children, I'm out here. I went five times and whenever you do, to realize that I'm out here to tell the kids, talk to your parents. You know, your parents, you have a 60% chance that your parents either smoke pot or a 75% chance that they knew someone that did.
That's true. And we want kids to get, you know, the real information about it instead of all these, you know, scare tactics that tell them it's going to lead to heroin and make them hit kids in their cars and stuff.
Yeah, but see, this is also what you did not know. This is why a lot of my families, they can't believe I'm fighting the drug war. My first husband was a heroin addict.
Oh, okay.
So all you have to do is call me a junkie. And I got blessed only because when I New Year's Day is my birthday. When I was 21 turning 22, my husband had an overdose on heroin. And the first thing they were going to do was arrest me because I went to work and left him in a coma. But they did not know that his idea of being high was being comatose.
Mm-hmm.
So I have lived the drug war. In my early years, I could not smoke because I never knew what was going to happen with him. I never knew if I would end up in the emergency ward or police station or, you know, whatever. But to say the two are related, it just...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a ridiculous bit of reefer madness that we're still fighting against. And, you know, I'm interested also, Kathy, in what you're doing now to get people on the side of medical marijuana and marijuana legalization. Are you leading any marches or protests in the near future?
No, I'm not. I'm working on trying. Like I said, that's why I do normal, and I'm good to work for the people here in Florida. But I am wherever I speak anymore. I'm no longer going to speak just medical. I am going to speak, please, go tell your parents. Only because I'm here in Sarasota, they just did a survey. Now I'm going to attempt to contact these ladies and meet with them. They both lost children to prescription drugs.
Mm.
And there are reasons that overdose death rate in Sarasota and Mendocino County are 3-1 on prescription drugs over illegal drugs.
Wow.
But there's 3 children to prescription drugs over illegal drugs. So I think it's time someone starts speaking the truth.
I agree, and we couldn't have a better person speaking the truth than you, Kathy. You tell people exactly what's going on, and your history, you know, being diagnosed with ALS and living, you know, so long and so well, you know, with using cannabis as a therapy, that unlocks people's minds to the medical marijuana aspect of it. And then to have someone like you yourself, who's a patient, standing up for everyone's rights is even better. And I really thank you for doing that.
Oh, no. After all the years, like I said, after 12 years of knowing this, I mean, I'm not blind. I'm disabled, but I'm not blind.
Yeah.
I see what is happening.
I think you're absolutely right, Kathy. Thanks for joining us again here on the Daily Audio Stash. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with reminders about tomorrow's activists' agenda. Tomorrow there's hearings in the state of Hawaii on House Bill 1635, which would limit medical marijuana patients in the state, and Senate Bill 418, which would increase medical marijuana distribution in the islands. Also, tomorrow there's a meeting for Joplin, Missouri, and of course, live at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, MarijuanaRadio.com with McKenna, Paul, and Dane. We also leave you with a special President's Day cannabis quote from George Washington, the father of our country, who said, quote, "Make the most of the Indian hemp seed and sow it everywhere," end quote. And that's just what we intend to do here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash. We intend to spread the seeds of knowledge until they grow up into big, bushy buds of truth. Thanks for downloading the podcast and bringing us up to 30,000 listeners a day. We love each and every one of you. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.